Lecture 8, God and Man, God and Community.
A 15th century Jewish philosopher by the name of Rabbi Joseph Albo once said, "If I knew God, I would be God." And as with so many other aspects of Judaism, even the basic perception of the deity, as well as the nature of God's relationship to man, cannot be reduced to one all-embracing, mandatory, and universally accepted creed. And indeed, scholars are very fond of saying that Judaism has no dogma or creed in the Christian sense. Consequently, while Rabbinic Judaism, medieval philosophers, Jewish mystics, as well as modern theologians have all tried to formulate a definitive statement about what a Jew is expected to believe, the very profusion of such attempts points to the futility. This lecture will touch on some major issues of faith that appeared on the Jewish scene throughout history. Knowledge of God, God as creator of the world, or the God of Israel. We will return to this issue in our final lecture. Issues of free will, fate, determinism, reward and punishment, individual afterlife, and the world to come. The nature of many of these beliefs was already fiercely debated by various sectarian groups within the Jewish world, even in Roman Palestine, precisely at the time of the dawn of Christianity, which was unfolding in that very same region. And as a result, one issue that we will take up in this lecture, the nature of messianism, would of course be of major importance for both religious communities. Let's put a few things in perspective. The Bible does not set out to prove there is a God. The Bible affirms God's existence, but there are no logical thought processes that try to achieve this. The story of creation is not presented as proof of God, but rather it describes God's initial role and relationship with our world. Even in the polytheistic environment of antiquity, theoretical atheism does not appear to have been an option. In other words, there are no people going around suggesting absolutely nothing exists. Only with the sort of abstract contemplation introduced by the Greeks did challenges regarding the very existence of a God become significant. In the early Middle Ages, thinkers both in Islam and Christianity were exposed to these Greek questions of contemplation. And frequently these thinkers served as conduits to Jewish thinkers as well. So the latter, the Jewish thinkers, would now begin to search for philosophical formulations of what Judaism believes. Who is God? What does he determine? And so on. While God's existence was not in doubt in early Judaism, his role in man's life and in the life of the people of Israel was an issue for Jews. The biblical account of creation obviously assumes a potent and powerful God. And this is reiterated time and again in the Bible. For instance, when God tells Abraham, the patriarch, that his 90-year-old wife, Sarah, will have a child, she laughs, only to have God admonish, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is there anything too wondrous for the Lord?" Israel was constantly reminded of God's power and of his benevolence as justifying reverence to him alone, to the exception of all other gods. The opening line of the Ten Commandments stresses that God brought Israel out of Egypt, which was a manifestation both of power and love at the same time, and therefore, as a consequence, you shall have no other gods.